You're listening to Breadbox Media. Find out more at breadboxmedia.com.
Brown, almost an hour, culture, current events, hour, Catholic faith, 50 minutes every afternoon. Father Thomas Loyer, our guest this afternoon, TaborLife.org, find out more about what he's got going on. We're going to be talking about the interesting controversy with Milo Yiannopoulos and the alt-right poster boy that, oddly, he is, was, whatever, now resigned from Breitbart, but what is this kind of interesting display of conservatism, if you will, say about where we kind of are at this point? I think we'll discuss that. Also, taking a look at immigration and the challenges that come from putting America first rather than our Catholic faith first, which as Catholics, we kind of need to put our faith first. We'll talk about that this afternoon as well. And the surprising Good Samaritans as Muslims step up to right a wrong against Jews. Very interesting dynamics here. We'll talk about all of that this afternoon and more. I'm Leo Brown. Leo Brown, almost hour more to come. Father Thomas Loya up in just a moment. Back after this.
You are listening to Breadbox Media Podcast. Check out our live stream at breadboxmedia.com. Breadbox Media. Get the app. Change the world.
Good afternoon. I'm Leo Brown. Leo Brown, almost an hour. Culture, current events, our Catholic faith, 50 minutes every afternoon. Father Thomas Loya joining us, TaborLife.org. Father, welcome.
Thank you, Leo. Good to be here.
Eventful week, as every week is this day and age. And today you want to talk a little about this Milo Yiannopoulos, I guess I'm saying his name right, that stirred controversy with a recent video that was seemed to be one of these that are all over the internet, a very bizarre sort of podcast, the Drunken Peasants, I think, is the name of the podcast. And basically in this interview has nothing but good things to say about pedophilia. And that was at least enough to wake up the Breitbart people to say, okay, well, they can't be a part of this platform anymore. Then CPAC, this conservative public affairs group that had him booked, decided not to, lost the Simon Schuster book deal. Lots of things happening, lots of cascading after this. But I think what you wanted to talk about was from the theology of the body aspect of what this guy has been about, or what he seems to be expressing. Lots of interesting things there.
Yes, it is a lot interesting. And it's interesting, too, for us as Catholics, where it's, again, it's another one of these cases where Catholicism, you know, our faith, Catholic faith, it does not fit into a liberal conservative agenda. And you can see what happens right here. That, in fact, part of the fault of the conservatives on this is that in trying to broaden their net, you know, maybe even appeal to younger voters, millennials, all that, they were promoting him or allowing him to speak based on his conservative views, but on what? On finance, on, you know, the economy and things like that. But they had to have known, at least to some extent, that he was practicing, you know, a same-sex lifestyle and kind of promoting that. But apparently what was discovered recently was this interview, as you mentioned. And so then it was only a couple of days before they were still going to go with him. Then they realized on pressure that, you know, no, he had to go. They couldn't possibly, because he was, like I said, they said in an interview that he recounted a sex act on a Catholic priest when he was 14 mm-hmm. years old, but yet he said it. He insisted it was not. It did not constitute pedophilia.
Yeah.
He claims, and in one statement, he claims he was against pedophilia, but then later on he talked about also how he attended these parties in Hollywood where these very young boys, in fact, his very words were, some of the boys that were very young, there was a lot of drugs, a lot of twinks talking drugs and having unsafe sex with older men, and some of these boys were very young. Those were his exact words. And again, the question is, well, what did you do about that? Report that. You know, it's almost like a certain kind of glibness, I guess, about it all. And so the thing is that, first of all, this is the problem we get into ideology, you know, agendas, you know, where here's the conservative platform, conservative agenda, or here's the so-called liberal progressive one. And what happens is, and it's a very good lesson for our faith, for practicing believing Catholics, is that we cannot be American Catholics. We have to be Catholic Americans. When we're American Catholics, which is a tendency for many, many Catholics, is we tend to look at one or the other party as being, you know, the Catholic way, and we kind of fit into that. And this is a classic example. You can't do that. It's not an either or thing. You know, there is nothing in the secular world that sufficiently fits or contains the mystery of our faith, you know, in its comprehensiveness, its fullness. It's not just about, well, he's for all these other conservative issues, so we'll kind of, you know, overlook this other thing or whatever. It's not like when you start from an agenda or an ideology. And I noticed this too, Leo, during the campaign, the presidential campaign, like, for instance, a person like Ted Cruz, there were a lot of people who were, you know, like talk show hosts and all that. It seemed like they were really championing him. There's one famous talk show host in particular who was actually just excoriating Trump and really campaigning for Cruz, because Cruz, in this mind of this host, was, he had like the whole agenda, the conservative agenda, and that's what you put your faith in, that agenda. You know, that particular ideology. Anything outside of that would be wrong. Well, now Trump wins, and the same talk show host is now supportive of Trump. So, and again, when I heard Cruz, and yeah, sure, I'm for, you know, teaching on, obviously, for pro-life and I guess what you would call so-called conservative values, but I don't like to use those terms. I don't identify myself as conservative or liberal. But as I was hearing that, Ted Cruz, a lot of good Catholics I know, faithful, were really for him. I kept thinking there's something wrong here. It's trying to get all of truth into this box, into this sort of man-made agenda ideology, and we become very passionate about that, even as Catholic voters. That's what I mean when we become, first of all, American Catholics or Democrat Catholics or Republican Catholics, when we're supposed to be Catholics who may belong to this or that party, or Catholics or Americans, or Catholics or independents. And I think this is a great example of that. And this is where the conservatives really, really show the weakness of that kind of approach, where they're searching for more people. They figure this guy has he's mouthing the right agenda, but we can almost like overlook this other stuff, you know, until finally it hit them in the face, you know. And very, very unfortunate, because, you know, there's this whole divide between, once again, our thinking that is sometimes so disintegrated, so dichotomous, this so-called, fiscal conservative but a social liberal. You know, well, what is that, you know? And this is, again, this is, I think, the type of thing that that was going on here. So I think it's a good example, nothing else, of how we cannot fit our faith into any American agenda, any American ideology. Is even though we're all patriotic, we're all passionate Americans, we're not that first. You know, it doesn't become that first. It becomes first the truth. You know what Catholicism is, and you notice, and that's the same thing with the immigration policy. Where do you really come in as a Catholic? There's bits and pieces from both sides of how to look at the immigration thing, and no one side has it all. That's the key thing. That's the difference between our faith and anything we see in the secular world, no matter how noble, you know, evangelical Ted Cruz with the conservative agenda, for instance, no matter how noble we might think that is, it's still, there is nothing in the secular world that really can adequately contain, I'll use the term, this mystery of the Catholic perspective. The Catholic perspective, you know, our faith perspective, Leo, is so integrated, so universal. It's so deep. It takes in the whole, it takes in every aspect of something, and it comes in at a way that's based on that whole broad integrated perspective. You can't pigeonhole what is Catholic. You can't pigeonhole it into any secular kind of framework. And we have a tendency to do that even as Catholics, that again, becoming American Catholic rather than Catholic Americans.
Mm-hmm. Well, especially Father Thomas Loya in this situation where you've got, unfortunately, someone who seems to label themselves more than willing. Yiannopoulos was more than willing to embrace this concept of ultra-conservatism, alt-right, even conservatism. But at the same time, just being generally nasty. That right there, I mean, you know, you're talking about not being able to put that into a Catholic construct. No, because first and foremost, it's human dignity. And, you know, if you're basing your platform, as Yiannopoulos has for some time, on just being downright disgusting to people, not necessarily, I mean, yeah, his lifestyle choices and the fact that, you know, he's graphic and explicit, that's one thing. But he's just, you know, he was banned from Twitter because he was basically being racially antagonistic against a celebrity. And that was enough to say, okay, you don't need to bring that here. Not because he was so impassioned about his position, even politically, that drove him to saying things that were unpopular, or because he stood up so fervently for the dignity of human people that it was unpopular, and as a result of that, he was being censored. None of that was the case. He was just being downright nasty, just disturbingly disgusting, and, you know, that in the first place has whatever values you think conservatism is. No political platform should ever embrace that type of personal attack.
Exactly. And that's why I always go back to John Paul's wonderful principle, John Paul II, that the personalistic norm. That's what the whole theology of bodies is based on, the personalistic norm. That these, no matter who you are, what we are, and again, Francis is saying this in his own way too, Pope Francis, that we are persons first and foremost, which means you are always, always deserving of love and respect, no matter how different it might be, how you might see the other person. Still, it is a person, and that makes all the difference in the world. And see, that's the part that's Catholic. Catholic is not in winning the argument and winning the ideology of saying that, we're right, we have the so-called conservative platform, whatever, and that's the right one. It's about the only correct platform is the platform that begins with the personalistic norm, as John Paul II called it, that we start from that standpoint that we are persons. And how do you deal with persons? And if you disagree with them, this is why sometimes these popes get into trouble, like John Paul II did, and even Francis said, how dare you meet with this or that ruler from whatever country? You know, he's no good, whatever. Well, to the Pope, people have to realize that the popes really do have a genuine sense that they are the father of all humanity.
Yeah.
And they act
like
they
should. Yeah.
One of the most striking things for me, Leo, was, go ahead.
I was just saying, people don't like it. We're coming up close on the break. We could pick up on the other side, but when you see that type of stuff, it makes people nervous, unfortunately. Father Thomas Loya with us. More to come in a moment. I'm Leo Brown, Leo Brown Almost Hour. Back after this.
You are listening to Breadbox Media Podcast. Check out our live stream at breadboxmedia.com. Breadbox Media. Get the app, change the world.
Back. I'm Leo Brown. Leo Brown, Almost Hour, Culture, Current Events, Our Catholic Faith, 50 minutes every afternoon. Father Thomas Loya, TaborLife.org, joins us weekly. Father, welcome back.
Thank you.
Before the break, we had to cut you off, and I apologize about that. I don't know if you wanted to finish the final wrap there on the Milo deal, but I know we want to talk a little bit about immigration reform as well.
Yeah, I just wanted to make the point about when we got into about the Pope's meeting with people, with anybody, you know, because that starting from that personalistic norm. And you know, a lot of people will say, well, how can I meet with that person? He's a dictator, whatever, a horrible person. Well, the thing is, we see people, again, that's where you see people. The sum total of how you see anybody is through the lens of their political behavior and so on, ideology. Whereas the Pope's model for us, the really Catholic way, the really Christian way, that you approach anybody because, yeah, you may have, because the sum total of that person is not in their, how they run a country or it might be awful, might be ugly, but that's not the sum total of a person. That's not, you know, that person isn't finished yet. You know, it's not the whole thing.
Right.
You know, again, I go back to that great example of Christ asking Zacchaeus to come down from the tree.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he would have been somebody that Christ, they were scandalized that Christ would meet with him, actually want to go to his you know, dinner with him at his home. But Christ knew that, yeah, he may have been a scoundrel, but that wasn't the whole story about him. And that he was first and foremost a person. And you're never going to get anywhere if you just try to fit people into an ideology, size them up, dismiss them, and that's it. You're never going to get anywhere with that.
Mm-hmm.
And that's oftentimes what we do. But these popes, I have to admit, these recent popes have really modeled something very different for us in that regard. The right way to see that personalistic norm.
Yeah. Well, speaking of seeing persons, I think that's part of this immigration debate, and it's easy, and unfortunately, there are Catholics who are kind of what you were talking about before when it comes to putting their political platform first. They see themselves as American Catholics, as you mentioned, or as a result of that, GOP Catholics or Democrat Catholics, and you know, this is a political. It's as polarized as the political spectrum itself when it comes to immigration. But now with the recent measures that we saw enacted from the Trump administration, it's brought this back into fresh light. And there's a perspective that is certainly coming from the heart of the church that the bishops are presenting. And then there are other perspectives out there that call themselves Catholic, which may not necessarily be in that heart of the church mentality.
Yeah, it's hard. Like, for instance, one of those is by Catholic Bolt, Brian Birch. He wrote an article, and I know Brian. He's now the head of the World Congress on Families, and you know, a good man and something like that. And but he was bringing up the point of that, yeah, the same concerns that others have. He did mention that about there being an unfairness, and he also was fair to other people. He says both sides are presumed to have goodwill. And then he quotes the Catechism, which I think also makes this interesting discussion. He says the more Catechism of the Catholic Church says this, the more prosperous nations are obliged to the extent they're able to welcome the foreigner in search of the security and the means of livelihood which he cannot find in his country of origin. Public authorities should see to it that their natural right is respected that places a guest under the protection of those who receive him. Then it also says political authorities, for the sake of the common good for which they're responsible, may make the exercise of the right to immigrate subject to various juridical conditions, especially with regard to the immigrants' duties toward their country of adoption. Immigrants are obliged to respect with gratitude the material and spiritual heritage of the country that receives them, to obey its laws, and to assist in carrying civic burdens. Now, those two passages in the Catholic Catechism, and this is section 2241 of the Catholic Catechism, make it for a really interesting discussion. Like, where do we come in at this on the Catholic perspective? Because in one sense, you know, even the church, see, the church says this. The church teaching is this. The church advises, they try to inform the conscience of leaders. But in the end, they allow the leaders to make their own decision. In other words, the church does not interfere or force, dictate to the government, the civil authorities, what the decision is. That
right.
is ultimately their decision. The church tries to inform them. So what is the Catholic way in this regard? Well, again, we try to look for that integrated way. The Catholic way says, yeah, we do have to protect our borders. Every country has that right. And in protecting the borders, you're also protecting immigrants. You know, you're protecting the ones that have come here illegal and something like that. So, but at the same time, you have the other side of it where, in fact, Bishop Vasquez from the U.S. Bishop said this, and he's the head of the Committee on Immigration, and he says that we strongly disagree with the executive order halting refugee admissions. We believe that now more than ever, welcoming newcomers and refugees is an act of love and hope. And he continues that, you know, today more than 65 million people around the world are forcibly displaced from their homes. And given this extraordinary level of suffering, the U.S. Catholic bishops will redouble their support for and efforts to protect all who flee persecution and violence. It's just one of the perennial and global work of the Church in this area of concern. So, again, you kind of put them together. Where do we come in on the Catholic thing? You know, it's not a liberal conservative thing. It's not an either or thing. I think the best way is that the Catholic thing for me, Leo, is always living in the both and, that there is this and is that, and you have to come in at a point where we really live in the confluence of that. There's a point to some what Trump's doing, that, you know, protecting our borders per se, trying to. And it's temporary. What he's trying to do is temporary. He's trying to supposedly, you know, come up, look at the system and see how can we vet people better to protect our culture. At the same time, how do you still remain very charitable and open and to all people? You know, how do you put those two together and find that balance? And that is what the genius of the Catholic way is. It can bring those things together and come in at it and live in that sort of confluence of what seems to be opposite things. For one thing, we should never really live in opposites like this, like we insist on doing in our culture. No. We need to live in a place where things come together, that we live in the both and. And it's very difficult as a Catholic to live that way in our culture, because our culture is just inherently either or. You know, it seems, you know, even Catholics get like that. Mm. Well, it's this way or that way. But it's not. The Catholic way tries to find that place where all that converges, that integrated view. And I think that's and sometimes that answer is not always totally clear. There's going to be one aspect that's going to be, should be maybe more dominant than the other, you know, the aspect of charity and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
But how do you exactly, what does it exactly mean in terms of a in the civil sphere, in terms of a policy? This is what we have to be careful not to be quite so dogmatic about, because the civil sphere, no matter what they do, it doesn't fit. It's never going to totally fit the Catholic thing.
There's going to be an inadequacy somewhere in that.
Exactly, inadequacy, precisely. And that's why we can't be so dogmatic about anything that comes out of the civil sphere. We have to accept the fact that, okay, this may be okay, but it falls very short, or maybe it falls very short, you know, and we can, you know, protest it and so like that. But we have to, we can never ascribe totally, wholeheartedly to anything that comes out of the civil sphere. It's just the nature of it.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's different. It's different than the Catholic approach. The Catholic approach is the full integrated mystical approach. It has a different starting point than the civil sphere. Not that the civil sphere is bad. It's just that it's not as complete.
Yeah,
not as deep.
It's not as holistic. Father Thomas Loy, you said something a moment ago that I think is very interesting, and something that certainly I would use. I will use this moving forward, because you're talking about the right of the country to protect the border, even for the immigrant. And, you know, I think there's something, you know, if someone is seeking asylum, if someone is truly seeking something better across the border, and then you say whatever they're escaping, we need to protect the border from, right? Now we're talking, right? Now we've got an integrated approach that says, absolutely, whatever they're escaping, we want to keep out of our country. We're not here to keep them out. We're not here to say you can't be here, but whatever you are trying to get the heck away from, you darn well bet we're going to protect our border from that. That's a beautiful integration, and I don't think anyone has talked that way that I've heard, but that sounds like the Catholic way. That's what we should embrace.
Yes, and there was a person brought up today. I was watching a Fox News discussion. There's kind of a focus group kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And one woman brought up, she was from, I think, somewhere in Latin America. She brought up an interesting perspective that I thought was very Catholic. She said, you know what, it's like we talked before about, Leo, when you and I were talking about where the pro-life movement should go.
Mm-hmm.
She went to the source. She said, what we said, a lot of the immigration is really, it's not coming from Mexicans. It's coming from Central America,
right.
Honduras. In fact, Mexico is trying to protect its southern border mm-hmm. from the Central Americans. And she said, why not have Trump? Because he's, and she was very complimentary. She said he's got the, you know, the acumen of, you know, businessman, all that. Why not go into those countries and make things better for them so they don't have to immigrate? Like she said, she even mentioned that Nicaragua, she wasn't, blessing their government, but she says, however, they have done some things there that the least amount of immigrants are coming from the Central American countries are coming, the least amount come from Nicaragua because they're happier there.
Wow.
So that was very interesting, very Catholic kind of perspective. Why not go to the source of it and make lives better for people?
Yeah.
Ideally, what you want to do is you want to help people be happy in their country of origin.
Sure.
You don't want to drain people or encourage them. Let them be happy with who they are, with their culture and something like that. Help build up their culture.
And therefore, protect your border, because that's you're going to
ultimately
do that. Let's find ways to be as economically opportune in these areas. If we can introduce some of our policies there to make it help, then great. That's what we should do. We're out of time, Father, but really good stuff to think about. And that personalistic norm, putting that first when it comes to everything, that's always going to win. So that's what we got to do. Thank you so much. TaborLife.org, Father Thomas Loya. More to come. I'm Leo Brown. Leo Brown, Almost Hour, back after this.
You are listening to BreadBox Media Podcast. Check out our live stream at breadboxmedia.com. BreadBox Media. Get the app. Change the world.
Good afternoon. We're back. I'm Leo Brown. Leo Brown, Almost Hour, Culture, Current Events, Hour, Catholic Faith, 50 minutes every afternoon. I actually heard it speculated. There was a conversation I was having off the air with another individual in the media business who actually speculated, and I don't know if this was his speculation or if he was echoing speculation, which happens a lot, that someone hear something and then just kind of says it because they heard it kind of thing. But the speculation was, with this desecration of Jewish graves, maybe it's Muslims. Maybe it's Muslims trying to make somebody else look bad, scapegoating someone else, right? Because that's where we are now. That's where we've arrived. We just can't accept anything at face value. There's always got to be something else. And there's always got to be somebody else that's setting someone else up. And, that's kind of where we are. It's unfortunate. And I'll admit, I mean, I've done it. I'm doing it. I'm doing it now. I'm wondering. I'm questioning. Is there something up with this Russia thing? Right? What is this? Time will tell. We'll figure it out. But I asked the question. I saw this. And again, I've given credit where credit is due. I have said about President Trump coming out with what seems to be a very impassioned statement, a very meaningful statement regarding the anti-Semitism, saying this cannot happen in America. This is not a place for something of this nature. His own daughter is a convert to Judaism. So there's a little bit of a personal connection there, obviously. So this, in my opinion, is good. I will give hats off, credit where credit is due, to this president. But now the story is that a Muslim group is raising money to have the graves restored. And will we hear enough about this? Or will we just continue to assume that Muslim bad, right? Christian good, Muslim bad. Right? We'll just go ahead and Frankenstein that thing to death. Because that's what we believe. That's what some believe. And yes, read the Hadith, read the Sirah, read the other works of the Prophet Muhammad, and you're going to discover that there is a political entangling that happens within the tenets to some degree. Absolutely. But also realize this far along, we're, what, 1,500 years of Mohammedism, if you will, of Islamism? Muslim faith is 1.6 billion strong? As I've said many times, if there really was a bent on taking over the world, they could have done it by now. The very small sect of ISIS, small, statistically non-existent, as crazy as that sounds, statistically non-existent, is not what the Muslim faith is. They have charities, they have outreach, they have Red Crescent, they're out there doing good work. We just don't know about it. We just don't know about it because there's nothing to fear in that, right? If we normalize the Muslim faith and we start hearing reports all the time, Muslim group funds a charity to restore Jewish graves. Yeah, if that stuff starts making headlines, well, there's nothing salacious about that. We can't get all excited about that. Nobody needs to protect us from that because this all sounds good now. So there has to be a narrative that continues in order to kind of support all of this, unfortunately. Now, I'm hoping that our media is beginning to wizen and realize that maybe it's time that we get a little less salacious and just a little more boring. Let's just get a little more mundane. Right? We don't need all the bleeds at Leeds and extremist stuff. And yeah, it's interesting because I do know this from some extreme right-wing individuals, and one of them is the I'm drawing a blank on his name right now. The guy who does the Blaze, Glenn Beck. Forgive me, who has kind of seen the error of his ways. Right, he's seen the error. He knows that it's gone off the rails. He knows that the rhetoric that has gotten so ratcheted that it's damaging. It's damaging to people. It's damaging to relationships. It's damaging to ethnic groups. It's damaging to immigrants, all of the above. So he's cooled his jets significantly, and he's decided to kind of take a different approach. Good for him. Good for him. Because I think he kind of got on that bandwagon, saw that it could take him to a new level of stardom, if you will, at least the sense of there's an impassioned group of followers who just thirst for that type of support my narrative, support my position with your craziness. I need more craziness. I need more of that. And that's what he ended up with. So we don't hear enough of these good stories. Muslims doing good things. Muslims doing good things should be a requirement of every news department. Do we have the Muslims doing good things story today? Because we need that. Because we've done enough damage to them. Do we have immigrants doing good things? Let's have that story as well. Because we can change the dynamic if we begin to focus on this effectively and start showing that this stuff is there. It's not that it's not there. We just haven't seen it. We need to see it. Speaking of seeing it, we were talking with Father Thomas Loya earlier about immigration. And on the Statue of Liberty, there was, not sure how long it stayed up there, a sign that says "Refugees Welcome" from activists trying to actually make a statement of what America is all about and why we have the Statue of Liberty to begin with, right? To welcome those from other lands. And I think it's important because I posted this on my Facebook page along with the catechism reference about immigration. And I love what Father Thomas Loya said. And when we finished the interview, I told him, I say, I'm going to use this because there's something beautiful about protecting your border from that which the immigrant is escaping, right? Yeah, let's not let that in. Let's not let that, whatever that is, whatever it is that these individuals are trying to run away from, let's not let that in. Yes, protect the border from that. But we want to protect the border from people. Whatever that ideology, whatever that oppression, whatever that sense of devaluing these individuals, the reason why they're trying to get the heck out, let's protect our border from that. Yes. Let's do everything we can. Don't let that in. Don't let that influence in. Don't let whatever it is that would devalue humanity to the point of us feeling we need to flee. But the decision now is we are no longer safe where we are. We are no longer valued where we are. We have no opportunity where we are. Yes, protect the border from that. Protect the border. Do everything in our humanly possible way to make sure that never creeps in. But don't protect the border from those who are escaping that. Because they're escaping that for a reason. Now you could say, well, we need to work on their problems in there. Well, yeah, well, let's do that. Let's do it. I'm all for both ends. Nothing says, well, if you do that, you can't do this. If you do that, you cannot do this. We've made up those rules. We've decided that. Left hand good, right hand bad, right? Well, we're part of the same body. We just decide that we're going to arbitrarily assign goodness and badness, or this can be done. Well, if we do that, we can't do that. No. We can have a both and. If we look at Central America, where there's a lot of influx of immigration moving through Mexico, out of Mexico, on into the U.S., and now we're seeing from the U.S. on into Canada, because Canada seems to be more of a promised land than the U.S. now. Because now immigrants are going, well, we're going to get deported, so we got to get the heck out of here. We got to find a way to get to safety. We're letting that in our border, right? We're letting it in. We're letting the oppression in. That which they were trying to escape, we're letting it in. Do not do that. Let's protect that. Let's stop that now. And again, I've challenged a number of times, you know, if illegality is the problem, if it truly is, if this is what you're concerned about, well, what if we could magically some way have a way to check everybody out in 3 days? We're going to send the immigration agents in, and they're not going to deport. They're just going to check everybody out. We make sure everything's cool here. Make sure everybody's good. You got everything you need. Okay, great. We're just going to ask a couple of questions. Your process, great. You're on your way to legality. If we could do that, and miraculously in 3 days, everybody is processed. We know everybody's good to go, and they suddenly become American citizens. Are you okay with that? Are you okay with that? I don't get a lot of gleeful, joyous, let's kick up our heels and embrace that attitude. So to me, it's got to be something unfortunately different. That's all we have time for this afternoon. Thank you so much for listening. I'm Leo Brown. Leo Brown Almost Hour. God bless.
Thank you for listening to Breadbox Media Podcast. Check out our live stream at breadboxmedia.com. Breadbox Media. Get the app, change the world.